for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Saturday afternoon service, July the 8th, 1989. Tape number 21B of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Rod Johnson is the teacher for the afternoon.
Marriage that succeeds is a marriage where both partners love unconditionally. They don't expect love back. They love with the love of Christ that says, no matter what you do, I love you. And I love you before you do any actions to me. And one of the surest tests of if your marriage is designed by the Lord, and if you should get married, is, do I love that person so much that I don't want them to enter into any sin with me, number one, and number two, that I'm not looking to them to feed me as in a supportive action, but instead I just want to smother them with the love of Jesus Christ. Then you know that you're in love, and it's a God-like love that's preparing you to marry that one. Hallelujah. Please hear me from the voice of experience. Likewise, I find that it will eliminate the problem of the spoiled children. If we can minister, you know why we spoil our children so much of the time? Well, partially because of a guilt complex, but also because we want their affection. Isn't that right? A puppy is much more fun than a cat because a dog automatically loves you, but a cat, you gotta, come on, you silly thing. And they'll reject me a lot of times. But isn't that true? And it's that nature of desiring to receive affection from that causes us to minister softly as a priest in our family when we should minister with an unconditional love of the love of Jesus Christ. And that's not a punishing hate love. And the child will automatically respond because God's built it within them with a love of paying back such as you'll never understand or know. Hallelujah. Don't we love the Father that way? You know, He unconditionally loves us. And don't we have, do you relate to this? I have a helpless feeling of, oh God, how can I tell you I love you? Jesus, how can I thank you? Do you ever get just so overwhelmed where you weep before Him and say, I don't know what to tell you. How can I tell you how much I love you, Lord? And then we go off in the Spirit and we groan before Him. See, we have that built into us by God. We need to let it come forth. Hallelujah. Let's go on now. Verse 35. He that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest. This was a family teaching. There's much here. But the person in authority in the home is the priest and responsible for the spirits in the home. Please hear that. We won't get into it, but please hear that. Let me just interject one other thing, if I may. I'm going to meddle for a minute. The job of the pastor is to take these things and teach them to you in such a way that you have an understanding to apply them after it's been stirred up within. The job of the camp meeting and the evangelist and so forth is to stir you up, to provoke you by the power of the Holy Spirit to know that something must be done. So carry anything of this home to your pastor or your shepherd or whatever title they have and lay it before them and say, teach me the truth of this. Lay this out before me that I might apply it with exactness in my life. Hallelujah. That's the truth. And you know what happens? A true pastor will probably not preach a lot, but he'll be visiting in the homes, being a shepherd to the individual homes. Not in a controlling way, but in a crying out way. I want to minister to your needs. And all of my sheep have got individual and different needs. Come together, then the fivefold ministry comes forth in action. And the power of God can move. And the pastor is not under the pressure to work up a powerful sermon to make him look good. I'm done meddling. But I've been there. That's why I can say it. Then the priest. Oh. And the owner comes and tells the priest, saying, It seemeth to me that there, as it were, a plague in the house, ministering to my walls. I am also a priest unto myself. I told Glenn I apologize for not being here this morning, and I really mean that sincerely. But I needed to be a priest to myself this morning. This thing was stirring, and I couldn't get understanding of some things of it. And I just couldn't get away from it. And I had to make a decision, and I felt not to be a bad example, but I needed to go to the Lord with this thing. And you and I have got to come to a point where we will willingly and honestly look face to face with God. And that comes from, like Hezekiah, putting our face to the wall and crying out to God. Putting our face to the wall of righteousness and looking at ourselves in the reflective mirror of righteousness. Hallelujah. In letting the Holy Spirit then expose, I tell the kids, the zits on our face. In other words, the imperfections that are there that shouldn't be there. Okay? And we want to hide many, many things from ourselves. We don't want to recognize that they're there for many different reasons, which we'll look at in a little bit. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house. I want to go on for the sake of time and drop down to verse 40. There's a whole teaching in this, but I want to skim. Then the priest shall command that they take away the stones. Well, look at verse 39. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then they shall take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them in an unclean place. He shall cause the house to be scraped within round about. They shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take them other stones and put them in the place of those stones. And he shall take other mortar and plaster them in the house. That is dealing with sin without deliverance right there. Because the wall is still structurally there in its own place. But what's happened is some green mold and some... something called leprosy. Some cracks in the wall have come. Okay? Imperfections. And they're making the wall weak. Now, the things in our life that are not righteous are making us weak. And the double portion of the power of the Holy Spirit cannot flow if there is a weakness in the wall. Do you understand that? The enemy will see that weakness. And I learned this lesson by going to minister to a demonic-filled girl in a service. And she stood before me, and she spoke, and she said to me in a man's voice, "I am Jesus Christ, who are you?" And she did all sorts of voluptuous acts in my face, and I saw a spirit, and I'm not going to tell you what it was, and I identified the spirit, and the spirit laughed at me and said, "Who are you? You got the same spirit." And I had to deal with it myself before I could ever be used to deliver her. And so the Lord opened my eyes to many things in deliverance, and the number one thing is that I need to get rid of the stuff in my life before I can ever minister deliverance to the other ones with authority. And that's what God is doing with you and I, brother. Hallelujah. He is taking out the stones that are imperfect in the wall of righteousness. Because eventually he's going to put the double portion of the Holy Spirit of Christ in there. Right now we'd explode if we had the double portion. We couldn't handle it. There's no way I can't handle even one portion of the Holy Ghost. I have to say, stop God sometimes. Isn't that right? Okay. Now, verse 43 and 44. And if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after he hath scraped the house, after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, in other words, if after confessing the sin and walking away from the sin, that's throwing away the stone, you are still plagued by this sin condition coming forth that don't belong in heavenly realm. You're still battling this battle, even though you've confessed it, you've walked away. Then there's a next step, and it's this. It says, it is spreading leprosy in the house, it is unclean. And what that means, it is a bitter growth leading to total destruction. And that's what's in the wall then. After you've confessed the sin, after you've walked away from the evil and you're still battling the battle, then there is a bitter growth within you. Hallelujah. And this bitter growth is going to consume the whole wall and cause it to fall down and eventually bring you to death. That's what this word says. Now, here's what we have to do. And this is where deliverance comes in. Hallelujah. And then the priest. You see, we can minister deliverance, but the individual is responsible, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, to stand in obedience and say, knock down the wall so the devils can go. Hallelujah. I'm not going to mention any names, but this week I talked to an individual and I identified demons, and the Lord wouldn't let us work a deliverance yet for some other reason. But one thing that person said to me, I know I've got devils in me and everybody tells me, but nobody will take them out, so I got to live with them. That just makes your heart break. And I consulted with the Moody, Mom and I, because the Lord checked us on ministering deliverance and said, don't. And I checked with the Moody's and I said, are we hearing from the Lord right? And they said, yes. This was tormenting. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, there was a little bit different situation in this, but I just want us to see that principle. Okay. And he shall break down the house, verse 45, the stones of it, the timber thereof, and all the mortar, carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house all that while is exposed, and so forth and so on. But I want us to see that the house then must be broken down, smashed completely, or deliverance must be wrought. Build a new wall in that area. Hallelujah. So that's when demon possession comes in, and that's how you know it. That's how you know it's time to get rid of those devils. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 2. Hallelujah. We all know the story of Nehemiah. It's a precious story. It can be applied to today in so many ways. I want to take just a little portion of it and apply it to this teaching of building walls now. Let's go from the negative of tearing down walls to the positive of building up a wall of victory. You see, the wall has got to be in place so that the darts of the enemy, when they're shot, they break and they don't go in. The glory of the Lord will cover us so that the enemy can throw an onslaught against us, but it will not penetrate the power of God. Hallelujah. We are being taught to build these walls today. Glory to the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 3, chapter 2, I'm sorry, verses 17 to 20. Nehemiah had gone through the process of being aware that the wall needs to be rebuilt. Read chapter 1. Let it minister to you. Go through what Nehemiah went through. Live it. Have a burden in your heart, a breaking and a rending in your heart, that you must go to the king and ask for permission to go and break down and build up new walls of righteousness. Let the Holy Spirit of God deal with you in this thing. Hallelujah. And now pick up in chapter 2. Then I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how that Jerusalem lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. The word reproach means disgrace. Now, God is never disgraced, no matter what sin action we fall into. But we do bring a disgrace upon the power of God in our life. And do you ever, in nations as well as individuals, but we're dealing with Medes today, do you ever ache before God, saying, oh, my Lord, forgive me. I have brought reproach. I have been a disgrace to the name of being what people would call a follower of Christ. That's the situation that Nehemiah was in, and he was in great distress. I believe that effectual deliverance is preceded by times of great recognition, and that's why people drive for great miles to come for deliverance, and that's why we need more deliverance in more areas, and we need to make people aware of deliverance and minister deliverance as much as we can. There are people that are in great distress and they know that they're not living in the dwelling place of God and showing forth His righteousness, but they can't seem to deal with it, and they don't understand it. But Nehemiah knew what to do. Then I told them of the hand of my God which was upon me. Hallelujah. The hand of God is upon us as we go through deliverance. Blessed be the Lord. Praise God. We are so close to God as He ministers His delivering power to us. You know the picture in Revelation of that hand holding the seven churches and clutching to them, and they're shining brightly and He's feeding life to them. You and I are in that hand, and He is allowing that light to get brighter and brighter, and He's clinging to it is what the Word says there. And He'll not let us be taken out of there, but He's going to put us in places of darkness where we've got to have the darkness in us consumed by the brightness of the light so others can be consumed. But the Father is faithful and He'll never forsake us. Hallelujah. The hand of God in Nehemiah knew the hand of God was upon him. And he was in a foreign territory, so to speak. The land of the enemy. You see, when we enter into deliverance, our frame of mind is such that God doesn't even want to look at me much of the time. We get a guilt complex. We get a complex that deliverance is great, but I sure hope my neighbors don't see it. That's what walls are. We try to hide them so that nobody can see them. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the work, for this good work. Strengthening their hands is the word and praise and prayer. Now, the time of deliverance is coming to build the walls. Three guys appear on the scene, and that's the ones I want to tell you about for a minute. The first one that appears, now, first of all, these three have a mission. And their mission is to despise us and laugh us to scorn. In other words, they are filled with a hate and they want us to feel foolish about what we're doing. And every time we enter into deliverance, isn't that one of the battles that we go through? I feel so foolish going through this. I'm afraid others might see me. And do I really want... I don't want people to know I got that kind of a devil. Or I don't want people to know I've got that wall built up in my life. I'm kind of ashamed of this thing. Isn't that right? Okay. And not only that, these demons are ministering that to us because they are mad, because they know they're going to be driven out. Hallelujah. Okay. So you might as well expect that ministering. It's a trick of the enemy. Isn't that right? But now look it. Sanballat means, here's how they come. A secret thorn of hatred, amongst other things. Okay? So he is going to minister against the wall of righteousness by ministering hatred to us. A love for sin and a hatred for righteousness. We can expect a battle in the area of resistance to getting rid of that which is an innermost wall hindering the love of God. Okay? The second guy that came against it was Tobiah. His name means the goodness of Jehovah. He has a religious spirit about him. And he ministers all kinds of religious goodies to you that you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and Jesus is your righteousness and that a demon can't possess the saved person and what other million excuses are there that we shouldn't go into deliverance? And he'll minister that to try and stop you from ministering against the wall that you're hiding from everybody so that that wall will stay up. I know it happens. I wrestle with it. Linda testified so beautifully about that the other night. I got blessed by it. The third one that ministers, what was his name? I missed it. A deacon? And he's a descendant of Ishmael. Of course, that's the flesh entering in. But his name means rain in that he's a warrior. So he is, what's going to happen, what happens then is a steady pattering of rain, which is a false anointing of the flesh, and it's coming against us, and it's trying to drive away the righteousness by a continuous ministering of, you don't need it. And it will use the emotional realm frequently to give you goosebumps and good feelings and all kinds of falsities And many times it will even cause you to think, I better look good and start coughing when it's not a holy cough of deliverance. And what Satan is doing is he's mocking. Let me quickly relate. Oh, my goodness, where's the time going? But let me quickly relate. We know of a young man, and every service, this is before we knew a lot about deliverance, every service he would come walking up, and he would put his head in a pail, or he would do some gyrations and mimic that he was going to deliverance. And he'd quote scriptures at us and do everything else. But it was just Satan making a mockery of the thing. And we need to be careful that we are under the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God, through the power of God, is driving these devils out. So it's a serious thing that we need as we come together in these areas. Amen. Okay, let's go on now to Joshua chapter 2. I want to quickly... Can you handle just a little bit more? Huh? Okay. I sense a spirit of life coming upon it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good. See, we got enough faith. I didn't hear many amens, but I heard a few. Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Now, the thing that we need to draw from this is Satan is aware that he's defeated. He knows the final outcome. And his demonic forces know that they do not have authority over the power of Christ. But we need to let that minister to us. We need to go with the confidence that the wall of righteousness will be built and the wall that is sin will come down. Okay, this is the attitude of what Satan is looking at us with, but he doesn't want us to see it. Just look at this. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof and said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right there in that statement, we can put those words in the mouth of Satan, and he has to say that to us. I know that the Lord hath given you this land. He is possessing a land that rightfully belongs to us. I have got the title to that land. It has been given to me free and clear. All I need to do is possess that land. Hallelujah. But boy, to drive the inhabitant off is another thing. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. You see, we need to minister to the devil the Word of God. I am seeing more and more that I need to speak to Satan in deliverance. And I need to say to him, Satan, I command by the name of Jesus Christ that you listen to this Word of God. For I am going to read it to you, and I demand that you order your demons to listen to this Word of God. And he's powerless. He has to sit and listen, and it tortures him. Hallelujah. I pray to God I'm not ministering something that's as far out and flung, but I'm seeing it work. We have seen a lady that was going to die within the year, healed of cancer through prayer and ministering like this. We saw a man that was diagnosed as Alzheimer's disease, and he had some other things wrong with him, and we saw the demons, and we ministered to him, and he prayed in tongues and praised the Lord afterwards. And amongst other things, while I was preaching, and it wasn't a religious spirit, it was a beautiful thing, he fed into the service some beautiful nuggets of truth from the Word of God. So we know that the demons will stand up and take listen to the Word of God, and they have to be paralyzed as we minister the power of God. And we don't need to take these things anymore. Hallelujah. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. In earth. The Lord is God. And Satan knows it, but we need to tell him. We need to let him know that we know that the Lord is God. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, Joshua chapter 4. Comes the time for deliverance. Comes the time to break down the wall of unrighteousness. Now I want to pray with you for a minute. Father, I would ask that you would minister conviction to me about hidden walls that need to be broken down in my life, that the wall of righteousness might come up in that territory. Make me open to receive your ministering Holy Spirit. I renounce any spirit of rebellion, any spirit of slumber and self-pity. And I ask for the spirit of life of Jesus Christ to minister to me. Okay. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake. We need to come to Jordan River. Now, Jordan River is where the spreading of God's judgment is. Okay? It seems like a river that is uncrossable. We know that we need to deal with something in our life that the Holy Spirit is bringing up. But yet it seems like it's an insurmountable thing. But we're not going to get the victory until, by faith, we take a step out into the water and the walls of water congeals. In other words, the conditions of this thing congeal, and we walk through and the conditions of the sinner on either side of us, and we learn that we don't have to be afraid of the enemy while he surrounds us. Hallelujah. And we need to face the fact that we need to let Jesus Christ make judgment against that sin in our life. But in order for him to make judgment against sin in our life in that area, we have got to do it. We've got the purpose in our heart. By faith, I want to issue a decision of defeat against that sin, against that devil, against that wall of unrighteousness. That's what true repentance is. It is a faith confession. And it's asking God to bring forth a godly sorrow in my heart. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Isn't that right? Okay. Now, as we pass through this water and clean over to the other side, verses 3, the Lord says, bring evidence of your communion with me. Command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and carry them over there, over with you. Leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge. The same chapter now, verse 7, says here's why. That, verse 6, that these may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what mean ye these stones, that ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And then they were set up. We need to recognize as we go now to attack the enemy that we have discussed the wall with God the Father through the power of Jesus Christ, because the altars, the stones represent, amongst other things, an altar of communion with God. And we need to recognize that we have given them to Him. So much of the time we want to carry these 12 stones with us wherever we go. But we need to set them down there. And we need to place them there. And we need to recognize that we have discussed it with God. In the midst of the turmoil, then, we need to teach for those of us in the home. We need to teach that we have battle zones in those areas because of the bloodlines. And that they could be passed on down through us. So we need to minister to our children and our children's children, that they need to have extra strength in those areas. We need to give them more word power in those specific areas so that they'll be aware that there is a weakness in that and that it's not a defeat place, it's a victory place. Okay? All right. I want to... Now, as they go to Jericho, I want to just look at this and then we're going to wrap things up. Verse chapter 6, verse 1. Now, Jericho means a place of fleshly pleasure, amongst other things. A pleasant place, a dwelling place where palm trees are, many things. But it's a, I like to think of it as a resort city. A place of sensuality. A place where I go on vacation. Not Lake Hamilton Resort here, but Bible camp and so forth. But I mean a place where you just, where you just put all your cares to the world and do whatever the flesh likes. You know, us Christians like to call it, let's go pamper our flesh for a couple of days. Because we're tired from so many meetings or something like that. No, we don't do that, do we? Yes, we do. Okay. Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None came out, went out, and none came in. As we are dealing with this thing, we need to focus our attention upon that wall and not other things. We need to zero in on the wall that we are attacking, and we need to confine our efforts for the particular session upon that one wall. Satan would like to minister confusion to us and say, go to many walls and attack this one, and that one. We need to attack one at a time, and we need to segregate it, and we need to bind it and put it in a position where it can be destroyed. An army will take a hill, one hill at a time, a city, one city at a time, unless they're a huge army, of course, but for this purpose. Okay? Then, after that, we need to camp about the city 3 days. For the Israelites, well, verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, and go around about the city, and so on. But it says that they dwelt there, and it came to pass. I'm trying to see, I lost my place here, is what I'm looking for. Chapter 5, 6, but... Okay, I'm going to have to tell it from memory to save time. They camped before they attacked Jericho for 3 days. And the word says that on the third day we'll rise up in victory. Why did they camp outside the ground of the city before then? Number one, they needed to have the ministering of God. Number two, they needed to dwell upon the spirits that they were coming in warfare against. Oftentimes, we don't recognize the spirits we're going against, but we need to become familiar with the spirits, not let a familiar spirit minister to us, but we need to recognize the spirit. Then do we go in and break down the walls of Jericho. A very simple way of doing it, but we need to see that. We need that process. Okay, now I'm going to try and wrap things up real quickly. There are walls. Remember the story back in Genesis chapter 49. We want to deal with walls, and the Holy Spirit will minister to us. Simeon and Levi are brethren, instrument of cruelty, are in their habitation. Go back to chapter 34 of Genesis. Simeon and Levi had been given a promise of being an Israelite to go into the promised land, but yet they had a curse upon them because they were an instrument of cruelty. They had things in them that were not right. They had walls that were hidden within them that caused them to do actions that were ungodly actions. Let's see how these walls started. Genesis chapter 34. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the lands of daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. Now that was their sister. And she was raped. And this caused great anger to come upon Simeon and Levi. Now look at verse 7. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved. They were very wroth because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. Maybe we better finish ministering on this so that we can concentrate on the subject. But later on, in verse 25, And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And you remember, they connived deceitfully and they made a pact and they said, we'll join you. They got the men to be circumcised, and while they were sore, then they attacked and killed them. But we see that an action in a family event spurned a spirit of anger. And this anger boiled over. And it boiled over into actions of deceit. And it boiled over into actions of an explosion of bitterness and anger and wrath and an action that was a sin against God. But the source of the sin goes back to a wall that needed to be broken down and it wasn't dealt with. Family happenings have much to do with walls that hinder our going on. Incest. Dad's a workaholic. Let the Spirit of the Lord minister to you. Mom's a perfectionist. Jealousy of brother and sister. Unhealthy relationships emotionally. Death comes along. Blaming self or another. All of these are areas where walls get a chance to build up and they're not dealt with. Look at your personal family unit and say, God, from time back, has there been a root of bitterness that was formed without me knowing it because of family relationships along the way? Stepchildren, product of divorced parents, divorce. There's no one that's divorced that can come through this without scars. Have you dealt with the walls that have been built? If you haven't, you're going to be pushed to a point where you have to deal with it. It's a wall that's standing there. And it's one that we try to hide by pride. It's one that we try to hide. Remember the story of Absalom and his brother and sister and how he murdered his, had his brother murdered and so forth and so on. Sins also with David and his promiscuity caused walls to be built up where there was great strife and great trouble in David's life. If any of us have had a premarital relationship, any kind of a relationship outside of the structure of the family home, you need to go back and search and make sure that you have sought and received forgiveness in that area. Many times a husband and wife relationship is ugly and can't be fulfilled because of the scars of the sins of a first or a second time relationship outside the marriage relationship. Those of you that lay together before you were married, believing that you were going to get married and it was all right. You established a guilt spirit to accompany the act immediately. And it's been ministering to you if you've not dealt with it all these times. And you've not been able to have the freedom of the beauty of the marriage bed being undefiled. It needs to be dealt with. Unforgiveness. Jesus teaches us much about unforgiveness and he says, he can't issue forgiveness to us until we unforgive those. We need to ask the Lord to convert our hearts and to give us a love towards those that have hurt us. And the quickest way to bring that proper attitude is, as our brother taught last camp meeting, bring a blessing upon those that have injured you. In a lighter vein, I like to say, bring a cherry pie to the one that curses you. We need to have forgiveness within. I find that one of the walls that's hidden will go back frequently again to someone I had a relationship many, many times ago where I did a wrong to them and they struck out at me, or they did a wrong to me and I struck out at them, and we never settled the issue before God. Our brother ministered on that when he fought the battle with his cancer problem. Failure at past efforts or family failures is another wall. I never seem to be able to succeed totally. That comes from not letting Luke 9:62 be fulfilled. We need to break that curse over us. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We need to accept the forgiveness of God. That means that I have to love myself enough to know that the Father loves me because I said, "Forgive me, Father, today." And then the only one that looks back is me. And I shouldn't do it. If I look back, it means I'm going backwards and my forward walk is either crooked or no place. If I stand still, I'm not going anywhere, and still water grows smelly and stagnant. But when I got my shoulders to the plow, I'm going forward and I'm making progress into the kingdom of God. Just because you've got a track record of failure doesn't mean you're a failure. It means break the curse. Tear down the walls and let the wall of righteousness come up, of purity. This applies in work habits, in education habits, in marriage habits, in personal relationship habits, in all of them. Like I said, I can't possibly go into it all today, but let your pastors teach you. As we close, while every head is bowed, first I would ask, are there any of you here this morning or this afternoon that have not surrendered to the authority of Jesus Christ in your life? Not received freely His abundant life. Have not committed your soul to Him and said, "Jesus, come into my life and take authority in my life now." And you feel it's time to mean business with God. And you're ready to surrender to God. Quickly raise a hand and say, "That's me." Hallelujah. Are there others? It's never too late. Today is the day of salvation. Are there any that really have some doubt in your mind and it's time to make a final serious commitment to the Lord? I want you to be Lord of my life. Okay, let's pray a prayer together as we dwell. Father, help me to see a wall that you want me to deal with this afternoon. And help me to build a wall of righteousness in place of it. The wall of forgiveness I desire to have built. Now, if this is a problem with you, some of the things that you're going to be wrestling with right now are anger, are pouting, temper tantrums, expressions that murmuring, stirring up strife. All of those areas where you want to see and you kind of get a little satisfaction out of seeing division and strife, of pitting one against another, anything that's related to that. In the name of Jesus, we renounce the spirit of unforgiveness, of anger, of bitterness, of hate, of malice, and of demonstrating those actions. I want to be loosed from them. I want to have a forgiving spirit. And I want to have a loving nature. In the name of Jesus, loose me now. Satan, be gone. Call back your demons. You demon of anger, go out. Now, you know enough about deliverance. If you sense the presence and it's going, just let it come out. Don't hold back. You demon of division and strife, we demand that you come out now. You spirits that minister strife, you demons and spirits that minister pleasure in fights, you like to see fights, you come out in the name of Jesus. You gossip spirits that go along with that. Let's deal with past failures and the fear of going on. Father, increase my faith now. I want to seek the kingdom of God first and trust you totally for all else. Forgive me for my efforts which contribute towards failures. For all of my sin in the area of failures. Now, Father, set me free. from spirits that would minister failure to me, that I may have inherited from my family, that I picked up from my friends, that I received from religious condemnation teaching, the attitude of what's the use? You spirit of fear, I renounce you. In the name of Jesus, I am a child of God. I have a sound mind. I have been delivered from your authority. And I have a wall of righteousness that will not accept fear. The last one, second to the last one, as time is running out. Parent and family abuse. Father, forgive me for all words that I have directed against my family and my parents. I forgive my family and parents for words that they have spoken against me, for calling me names of defeat, for I am a child of victory. I am not a dumb child. I am not a stupid child. I am not an accident-prone child. I am not a learning disability child. I am an individual who can be set free from these spirits now. Father, set me free from the reputation or familiar spirit of my family. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I demand that you break all soulish ties. I renounce all curses by virtue of what Jesus has done. I am free from you, Satan, from all death, relationships in the area of my family. Because I have confessed, I have been forgiven, and I now stand free. And a wall of righteousness is built. Now the biggie. Father, I need to fall in love with myself, with the love of Christ. Let's stand together. Father, heal my eyes today, that I might see myself as a child of the King, delivered from the power of Satan, being delivered from the power of myself, and surrendered unto Christ in victory. Loose me from the power of Satan. Forgive me of the sin of hating myself, abusing myself in all areas of my life. Clean up my thoughts. Help me to lift my soul into the realm of the heavenlies, that I might dwell on the beauty of Christ in relation to myself. Satan, I bind your power, and I demand that you call back your spirits that minister lack of love to me. I am a child of God. I have the love of Christ in me. I am the dwelling place of Christ. Therefore, I love myself to edify myself, that I might be a praise to His glory. You have no authority there. I rebuke you, you Satan spirits. You get away from me now. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Shandalalalalabarianda. Oh, tandalonaba siandalanaba korianda. Now this is just the start, and I believe with all of my heart that these words are seeds planted to come forth. The minister is totally by faith, because this is an awesome subject. And I want us to close by asking for the love of the Father to consume us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Consume me with your love. I want to be you. I want to be pleasing to you. A vessel of honor. Worthy. To go forth. You have assigned me that task. I recognize it. I'm proud to be a vessel. Because you've chosen me. And I surrender to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, we thank you for the food for tonight. Bless the cooks, Lord. They work so hard. God, minister your love to them in a special way. Thank you for the food. Oh, Lord, we'd ask that you'd bless it. Bless our fellowship. Give us quick rest that we might come in fresh tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Bless you all.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.